The following episode was recorded before March 2024, and while the content shared is valuable and useful, it features Rob, who is no longer involved in the business.
Hey, it's Rob and Kennedy.
Hello, today on the Email Marketing Show, we're talking about how to maximize your email waitlist before a membership launch.
Now, just before we get into this really interesting conversation, we got some different views on this. We'd love to give you something totally for free because we know that you want to make more sales from your email marketing. That's why you're listening to this show. But you can't make sales if you can't get people to click on the links in the emails that you send them. And so that's why we've put together 12 super creative ways to get more clicks from every email you send. And it's all in a download that we call Click Tricks, because Kennedy likes to come up with names for things. It's yours totally for free as a listener to this podcast today. All you have to do is head over to emailmarketingheroes.com/tricks and you can download it there.
He annoys me by telling people he was born in London. It's comedy hypnotist Robert Temple.
And he once started a business making and selling fitness music. It's psychological mind reader Kennedy.
So this is what happens, right? People say to Rob, oh, where are you from? And Rob, although he spent 99.9% of his life in Sunderland, right? And some of it in, yeah, Greece and different places. But you go, oh, I'm originally from London, innit? And I used to have the accent and everything.
Well, because people are expressing an interest and I want to tell them the truth. I think it's when people ask us, because we don't sound as fucking Geordie as most of the people who live around where we live.
You sound like that magician I follow on Instagram.
So I tend to try and explain it away. There you go.
There you go.
I remember that little business you started by, you know, it's one of those sort of, not accidental things, but sort of like it just sort of happened. It organically grew into a thing.
Yeah, I was called DJ Tone Up.
Yeah.
There you go. And it was truly like the most probably entrepreneurial business I ever started. Not successful at all. Not the most successful and not successful either. I probably sold, I don't know, $100 worth of stuff. Like, it was crap. But it was in terms of, like, I can't make music. I don't know how to produce music. So I went onto a freelancing website, found a guy who produced music, told him what I wanted, sent some bits and pieces over to him. And it came back. And I had like a little online shop selling music that like people could use at their boot camps, at their gym sessions, at their, you know, their hit sessions and stuff like that. I was just reminiscing about that the other day, actually, funnily enough, thinking, I wonder if I can make that work these days with my knowledge that I've got a little bit more knowledge now, you know?
Yeah, very probably. I was just thinking that. We could call it DJ Cockup.
That's too much. There's too many ways that could be interpreted that I'm not happy with.
You're not very good. I might cock it up.
You're right. Perfect. Hello! Moving swiftly on before it turns into a one of those episodes. Every week on this show, we show you how to make sales and more sales and earn more money from the email subscribers that you've already got. We talk about email marketing strategy, psychology, tactics, and share what's working right now to make more sales online, making you the email marketing hero of your business. And we've got a brand new episode every email marketing Wednesday, so make sure you hit the subscribe button on your podcast player. And if you haven't already, do go leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It really massively helps us out. So,
I think memberships. I think when I make stupid jokes, I sometimes forget this is somebody's first episode. Like, statistically.
And we'd like to apologize to all of our new listeners.
Statistically, I forget that I think everyone's been listening since episode 1, and this is episode 230 or something. And so I always forget this is somebody's first episode. So welcome.
And all I heard was that all that double entendre. Well, welcome. We're sorry.
However, you'll thank us in a minute if you want to launch a membership.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Just going back to the Geordie accent from before.
So we used to have a membership as our sort of main front end product, I guess. We now have a membership which is like to support people who are customers of our Blueprint course. So we've been around membership in this business for quite a few years, three and a half, four years. And then in our other previous businesses, like when we've done other things, like when I used to have a membership for magicians, and you've had memberships for, I mean, basically we've had memberships for various things without going into all the deals, right? And one of the things that is really useful if you have a membership, and even if you don't have a membership, if you've got a course, you can absolutely apply this. So if you've got a SaaS or something like that, anytime that you're going to open the doors to something, one of the things that often people will ask us about and we'll talk about is having a wait list, right? And I have sort of two feelings around a wait list. And part of me is like, yeah, you wait lists. And some of me, I'm like, why wait lists?
Right.
Where are you at with it?
Yeah, so it's a complicated thing. Under some circumstances, the problem is I can see why companies like, Glastonbury Festival or Taylor Swift might have I don't understand it. I haven't bought music concert tickets in a long time, but when the Taylor Swift Eras Tour went on sale, I did have a look to see what all the fuss was about on the website and stuff. And I got so confused by what the hell I was registering for. I was like, I don't know if I'm buying tickets. I'm fairly sure I'm not buying tickets, but like, I think I might be sort of registering to be voted in to have the chance of maybe talking to somebody who might once have bought some tickets. You know, there's this like process of things that had kick in place that I was all very confused by, but I can see why things like that do it. But there's a couple of bits where, first of all, in reality, right, unless your thing is massively capped in terms of number of people you can have in, and we'll talk about that, I guess, it sort of feels a bit like the wait list is all frivolous fluff rather than something that's required. Because ultimately, if you could sell 100,000 new members into your membership, if they all came running with their money, it's not like they're actually registering to get advance notification of anything to get in early. Again, unless there is a strict cap. But for most people, most of the time, that's not really the case, I think, in my experience. And so actually what it is it's a sort of, it's marketing happening, isn't it? It's the creation of demand in advance, which I guess we'll talk about, for this thing. But I think I largely always just think, well, apart from one specific circumstance, which I'm sure we'll talk about, we've got like one specific campaign, two specific campaigns I can think of actually, where a waitlist plays a really integral part. But apart from that, a lot of the time, I think it can just get in the way.
I think one of the things we have to consider with a waitlist is, well, a great time to use a waitlist, I think, is if you're like sort of putting a new offer out there and you want to sort of get a bit of an indication of what demand might be. Now, obviously, you need to think, well, you know, what if 30% of those people actually take out their credit card and actually buy? So you have to not think, I've got 100 people on a waitlist, therefore I'm going to make 100 sales. It's definitely not going to be that. You have to think, but it's a good indicator if you're saying, you know what, I'm going to organize to do an online class, or I might launch a membership. Let's see how many people I can get onto a waitlist and just sort of gauge interest with some level of commitment. So I like the fact that a waitlist is a micro commitment that gets people to go, yeah, I want to find out more specifically about that.
I think that's great, only if it comes with the condition. I'll only accept that as a reason if you also aren't busy creating and perfecting the entire membership or the entire course in the background whilst you're building the waitlist, because otherwise those two things sort of rule each other out. You can't be running a waitlist in order to, quote, see if there's enough demand at the same time as spending 1,000 hours a week creating and refining the course. You and I obviously have talked about this a lot, that we like to sell stuff, prove that it sells, and then make it later. So I think for me, the waitlist is a really good low barrier to entry way of figuring out, especially if you're newer in this world and you haven't sold much stuff online before. Like a lot of the time we'll create stuff and sort of, we'll just pop it out and have fairly good, we've got a good educated guess as to whether or not we can sell it or not. Whereas if you're newer in this world,
sometimes
you've never sold
anything. I mean, we've launched things, we thought, oh, we can definitely sell that. And oh, totally. Actually it was an absolute, you know,
It's just a level of confidence. You're not always right. So, you know, once you've been around your market for a bit, you'll have a level of confidence and awareness as to what's likely to work or unlikely to work. Whereas when you're just starting out, then obviously building this waitlist to demand. I think my major problem with the waitlist thing is this. If you are only going to market your product to the people who are on the waitlist and not the rest of the list, then you're definitely leaving money on the table, because there's people who would never sign up to a waitlist for something, either because they didn't see it, or because they're just not interested by the waitlist copy, but they're really interested once they see the actual hook of the sales page. And if you are going to sell it to everybody, if you're going to offer it to your entire list anyway, what's the difference between the two? Do you give them like an hour's head start? In which case, what's really the point? Like, again, it's very much dressing it up in marketing, which is okay. We're big fans of dressing stuff up in marketing. It's very much dressing it up in marketing as opposed to it serving a huge real purpose.
I think I was just trying to think there, what's a really good use of a wait list, you know? And I think, let's say, for example, you've got a podcast or a social channel. Maybe you've got a good Instagram following, or you've got a Facebook group, or you've got a YouTube channel. You've got some kind of social channel. And what you could do, if you know you're about to open the doors to your membership, for example, you know you're going to be opening that in 2 weeks' time. Maybe in the couple of weeks leading up to it, or maybe some people do it for longer, some people do it for a couple of months leading up to the opening of the membership, you could start talking on the podcast, on the YouTube channel, on the social media thing about what's coming. And if you want to get on the wait list to find out about it, it's a good way of getting people onto the list. It's a good call to action to get. So rather, the people who might not have responded to "here's my lead magnet" or "get my newsletters" might respond to, "oh, I've been hearing about your product, your membership, your course, and I want to know next time it's on sale." So I think a waitlist is a nice thing to do, not to your email list. There are some campaign exceptions, which again is marketing. It's not really like that helpful. But I mean, it helps with conversion, so it's very helpful. But I think externally is where waitlists really fit in for me. So we have a waitlist, for example, for our email engine accelerator. We know that it is capped. We can only take a very small number of people on that each time. We know demand for it is very high. People see the results from it. We talk about it, all this stuff. So when we talk about it to our customers and people are like, "hey, how can I find out about when the next email engine accelerator is happening?" Because we only run it 3 times a year. We can say, "hey, go on the wait list." Now, that means we can talk about it externally. We can say, "hey, you know, on the show, if we want to advertise it externally," we could say, "if you want to get on the wait list." So I think it's a good reason to get on your list. Then right. comes the decision of, what do I want to do with those people after that? Now, it depends on how you frame those people. You can't have somebody join your email list just to get on a wait list, and then you do the announcement to the wait list and put the thing on sale, and then suddenly put them through the rest of your email marketing, unless you've done some framing, unless right. you've done some kind of setting up and then transitioning. Okay, cool. Now that thing's now closed, sold out, whatever. And now I'm going to sort of tell you about something else. That's fine, as long as you've sort of set up the relationship. So for me, yeah, a wait list is a good way of externally getting people onto your list with a specific level of intent. It's a good sign above the door.
Yeah, I think the piece about handling how they transition to your email newsletter, if they do, like ongoing email marketing, is to use something like our Getting to Know You sequence. I think that's like our sort of catch-all. If somebody opts in for more or less anything, if we put them through the Getting to Know You sequence, our 4-part welcome sequence at the same time, that does that little bridge from, "oh, I was only joining a waiting list" to "I'm going to be on your newsletter now, and that's okay." So I think that's interesting. So let's quickly talk about the things we do like about waitlists. We'll just rattle through these. First of all, it does give you a sense of demand and confidence, right? The minute you say, "I've got a thing, this is the loose but bare bones of what it is. Would you like to be on the waitlist so that when it comes around, you'll be the first to know, amongst the first to know." You won't be the first to know. Not everyone on that waitlist can be the first to know. You'll be amongst the first to know. Then, you know, pop your email address in here. It's good to see that that is a thing. And as we know about from some of our campaigns, like our anticipation to action campaign, our book launch campaign, there is a sense of importance attached to something when there is a waitlist coming for it, even if there is no cap, even if there is
nothing. It sort of elevates it up a little bit, doesn't it? It's not like you're just mailing the list saying, "hey, I've got this other thing." It's basically saying, "this is important, this is exclusive, or this is just for the few who are in the know, who are in this special little group, in this special room who gets to hear about this thing." It definitely creates an exclusivity feel.
And it also means you've got a bunch of people that you can go back to the next time you launch the course. Like, they may not sign up this time for whatever reason, but you can always come back to them next time around.
So let's talk about how to get people onto your waitlist? Because I think we've probably got some interesting stuff to say around that, because people are like, we often see again inside of our Email Hero Academy, like, how do I get people on the waitlist? And I think one of the things, you've got to give them a damn good reason. And they can be emotional reasons that, like, "hey, you're going to watch me as I do something." Like, for example, in our book launch campaign that we teach and we use, the reason that they're on the waitlist is to often they'll get some chapters as you're writing the thing, or if it's a case of a membership, they might get some little samples of, or get to samples of the program, or they might get to vote on certain things. Would you prefer this or this? Do you think this is a good idea or that? Like, they feel involved in that creation. But one of the things I think they do is really compel people to get onto that wait list. So you can do things like, hey, I'm going to be opening the wait list tomorrow for my thing. It's about this. Here's the bare bones of what it is. The first person to join my wait list is going to get this free gift. Because what that does is it compels people to do it now. Like, I want to try and be that first person. Or, so let's say the waitlist is for a membership. You're going to, as soon as you join the waitlist, I'm going to, you'll see the video tour of what I'm thinking the membership's going to look like. So you're giving them like this after picture of what am I going to get immediately, ideally immediately after joining the waitlist. Not always possible, right? We've done some things where the join the waitlist, we've even done this with products, where we go, what can we give them immediately? Because it's a live thing we're going to do. It's a live program. So they don't get anything immediately. It's, the live program doesn't start till like a week or two later, sometimes 2 months later. We've done some things like that. So what can we give them immediately? And we've made it really simple. So yes, we could give them a course, or we could give people a something or other, right? An extra call. You can do all that sort of stuff. Like, hey, we're going to do an extra group call like next week to sort of welcome people and give you a bit of an outline. You can do all of that. So we're going to do a webinar which shows you behind the scenes of what I'm thinking, like an informal behind the scenes fireside chat type thing. You can do all of those things. They're great ideas. But the other thing you can do is really strip it back to being simple. If it's a live program, the thing they get instant access to is the calendar of when the live calls are going to be.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be like some big thing. It just, as long as they've got something, because with the calendar of, oh, as soon as you get in, you'll get the calendar with all of when the live calls are going to be. Therefore, that what they've got is assurance. What somebody doesn't want, as soon as they've just bought something, as soon as they've just enrolled or registered for a waitlist, is they don't want to be sort of left going, I didn't get anything for that effort. I didn't receive anything in return. I haven't got any certainty. I sort of feel like I've been left alone. I've handed you your money, or I've handed you my email address, and you sort of turned around, walked away, and put your fingers in your ears, which is a bit of a weird feeling. Whereas with giving people the calendar, they kind of go, oh, I can now see when the calls are. I can get all that booked in. There's a sense of satisfaction.
Functional things like that are useful to be able to help start overcoming. They're not exactly objections, but they're sort of objections in advance. So for example, if you say, we've got this 8-week program, it starts in February, come and join our email list in January. They come and put their email address in, and you promise them or tell them or surprise them as soon as they register that you give them the calendar thing subscribed to with when all the calls are, they can immediately start figuring out how that fits into their life and sort of selling themselves on it in advance, which means that, sure, if any of the calls are a problem, then they're not going to be able to enroll, but that's going to be the case whenever you tell them when the calls are. And it saves the... when you're doing the marketing, it saves some of the people replying, going, when are the calls? Are they recorded? Is it on the internet? Can I attend it? If I buy it, do I get it? You know, all those questions that you get. I think
it
dodges. Well, you never know in 2024, do you? It dodges some of that stuff. And it's interesting. There are two different ways that we have got people on what I would consider wait lists for things. Some of them are, as Kennedy said, baked into the campaigns. I mentioned a couple of them earlier, like our book launch or the Anticipation to Action campaign. On a very subtle level, every once in a while, we'll do like a pre-framing email, either as part of something we call a bed campaign, which goes out before we do a sales campaign, or just casually. So for example, in our Black Friday email, we've done this. In our Black Friday campaign, we've done this. We'll send an email the day before Black Friday, and we'll say, you know, tomorrow's Black Friday, obviously. You don't need us to tell you that or you've been asleep. Tomorrow's Black Friday. We're doing a Black Friday launch offer. If you want to see what's inside it, click here. And at the end, there's like a PS or something from memory that says, if you want to get told about this an hour before everyone else, just click this link and we'll pop you on our little sort of quicker notifications list, I think is what we call it. It's not a wait list exactly. But fundamentally, it's a wait list. It's a wait list for less than 24 hours.
It's early notifications,
hours.
Isn't it? Yeah.
And so there's two different circumstances there. One of them is we're sending people to a dedicated page where they have to put their name and email address in. Remember, the technology always exists now that you can send somebody an email, have them click a link and put them on a waitlist. And generally speaking, that's not a great idea because people will sometimes click a link just to see where it goes. Some people will click a link, you know, by accident. Some people will click a link if it's at the bottom of your email thinking it's the unsubscribe and now they're on a waitlist.
If they're in a corporation, they've got a piece of technology that will click all the links for them to check them out, which is handy. I mean, how lazy are we when we've got technology that clicks links for you now?
If it reads the sales page and starts buying stuff, I'm into it. But until then... Yeah, so that's the and so what you want is that extra commitment of them physically typing their first name or their email address or whatever into that list. Having said that, just as a little bit of extra spice every once in a while, if it's not a big promotion or you haven't got time to like make a page and all that stuff, there is something interesting once in a while just to mix it up a bit of just having a PS, click here and I'll let you know an hour before everyone else. Again, you do get a bit caught out by those bot clicks. So that's just one of those things, but you know it's not huge right now. So again, just an interesting little way of doing it. Every once in a while, again, don't treat that with the same level of strength that you would treat somebody opting in through a dedicated notifications page. But just as an extra little bit of spice in the campaign, it's quite cool.
Another thing you can, of course, do is to drive people that excitement of getting on the waitlist. You can say people who get on the waitlist and then buy also get this extra bonus. So you're basically moving people's mind, not just to get onto the waitlist, but to get onto the waitlist with the intent of buying, right? So you're saying, hey, if you want to, I'm going to be launching this cool thing. I've got this waitlist. If you get on the waitlist, people who are on the waitlist and buy also get this amazing cool thing worth X, or which is valuable because. What you've got now is a waitlist full of people who have already seen beyond just the waitlist. Because one of the dangers of the waitlist is it's kind of not that much of a commitment. Whereas if we can sort of push the psychology of someone's commitment a little bit further to, and when you buy, you will get, they'll go, oh, I'm getting on the waitlist because when I buy the thing, I'm going to get that really cool thing that I really want. That extra bonus. So again, that's another way of getting people onto that waitlist as well. That just sort of sprung to my head that I'd forgotten to mention
now,
before.
Now, like with most things we talk about, one of the most important things you can wrap around a waitlist to make it work is like a genuine reason why there is a waitlist. So basically, it's all well and good saying there's a waitlist and just hoping that that creates the sort of intended desire and anticipation that there's going to be some sort of limit to this, or there's some massive benefit of being on the waitlist. Because ultimately, you're probably going to tell your entire list about this anyway. So let's be serious about it for a second. If you're not, then you're leaving a lot of money on the table. So if you can wrap it around like the fact that it's a limited time offer, or the fact that you're going to be capping the number of people who can join this, if you can, and you can't always, because sometimes like a lot of our stuff is open forever once it's open. But if you can wrap that around, because you are going to do an open and closed launch, or because it's a small thing with a handful of people available, a handful of spaces available, if you can say that, that gives a legitimate reason for the waitlist. Because if it's only going to be running until Friday, or you've only got 8 places, there is a reason why somebody might miss out if they're not on the waitlist, because they weren't paying attention, like waiting out for the information, etc. So again, if you've got people on your email list already, so I'm talking about that bit. Obviously, Kennedy talked earlier about using the waitlist as a lead magnet. But if you've got these people on your list already, if you can wrap a good reason, like a true reason, not a marketing reason, a true, undeniable reason why being on the waitlist gives them an advantage or an edge somehow, then that's obviously going to make this work a lot better.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I like it. And in terms of like, how often we should keep, how to keep in touch with people. We get this a lot. How do I keep people warm once they're on a waitlist? And I think this is when it gets a little bit sticky and a little bit tricky, because like anything, our extensive tests and then the tests of like hundreds of people we've spoken to about this shows that the longer there is between someone joining the waitlist and you opening the cart to allow people to buy, the longer that period, the colder those people are. So you might end up with more people on the list because you've been talking on the waitlist, because you've been talking about it on all these different platforms for months and months and months. But the people who joined that waitlist months ago, on their excitement and drive and desire to actually buy, to solve that problem for that thing, has waned. It has petered out and it's no longer what it was. That's the same reason that we often will promote a webinar, and we need to get people to show up. We'll promote a sales webinar 3 days maximum. We've done 4, I think. I think we've done 4. 3 or 4 days before. Anything longer than that, our show up rate from the people who registered longer ago than 3 or 4 days sucks. Absolutely sucks. So again, keep the waitlist time as short as you possibly can. Now, I get the fact that, yes, you might be going, well, I want to mention it on, I want to use it as the way to get people in. I want to do what I said earlier, which was mention it on socials and podcasts and video and stuff like that and get people on and have a bit of time to do that. So how can you do a bit of both? Well, there's two things you could do. One is instead of actually mentioning it weeks out, you could use like a bit of dynamic content on all of your episodes, like we do often at the beginning of this episode, like we have a sponsor and stuff like that. That sponsor read that you, I think by the time you listen to this, probably you're still, hopefully you're still there, is dynamically being put at the beginning of every episode. So we use Captivate.fm to do that. So that's our podcast hosting. And it means we can dynamically go, oh, this week we want to tell everybody on it who listens to every episode, doesn't matter which episode they listen to, we want to tell them about this wait list we've got coming up. So we can just broadcast that on. So whatever episode someone's listened to in the 4 days or maybe the week leading up to our waitlist thing opening, we can tell everybody about it across every platform. That's one thing you could do. Use a bit of technology, okay? The second thing you could do is really look at shortening the waitlist period. But if you really do need and you want to be out there talking to people and mentioning it, getting on podcasts, being interviewed, all that, you know, doing longer term stuff, is I would spend some of that time saying there's a wait list coming. I would spend some of that time saying the wait list is now available to get on. So you're building a bit of anticipation and then you're telling people how you can get on the wait list. And then it's all about how you actually communicate with that list. And the way to not communicate with that list is to be like, hey, remember, you're on this wait list. It's coming soon. You can't just keep doing it's coming soon, it's coming soon. What you want to do, because that sounds like you're trying to keep them. This is the big mistake, I think. I see what you think, Rob. The big mistake I think I see people doing is they try to keep people's interest. Yeah. We don't want to keep people's interest when they're on a wait list. We want to raise their interest. We want to get them more, even more interested than they were before. How do we do that? We get them to engage. We get them involved. Get them to vote on stuff. I'm thinking about all the stuff we talked about before. Is it this logo or that logo? Should we call the community the community, or should we call it the tribe? Should we get people who are on the wait list to increase their personal emotional buy-in to what it is that you are doing? So by the time you do open, they're more invested. They're more interested. You don't want to be simmering them. You want to be really raising the heat.
Yeah, and I think There's a popular trend occurred in the sort of course and membership creation world that I'm personally not a big fan of. Only, and this might just be my confidence, these are my opinions, not the opinions of email marketing heroes. I'd be curious to get your take on this. But basically, I think part of the dream of the waitlist has been sold, right, to people, to course creators and membership site owners, that they can, from a standing start and almost no audience, or maybe a bit of a following Instagram or something, they can build a wait, and this is where the long wait list time comes from, I think, or what we would consider to be long, is that you can, from a standing start and a very small audience, from the audience you have got and face and, you know, paid ads, drive people to a wait list and then launch your thing to that wait list when it hits whatever you'd consider to be a critical mass and expect it to be a big result. Now, we've sold a lot of stuff online in a lot of niches over a lot of time. For me personally, my confidence in me making that work is very low. If you haven't got, now, on the flip of that, if you've got an enormous audience on a platform you relatively control, like Instagram or somewhere like that, and you know that when you say something, those people leap, right? You've been an influencer in your niche with, you know, tens of thousands of people or hundreds of thousands of followers, and now you've learned about this course thing and you want to move those people, that's a different story. But if you're going from a tiny social audience and a completely cold ads-driven audience, whilst other people seem to make it work, for me personally, I like the warmth and comfort. So what I would do instead, I think for me personally, I think you earn the right to do a big launch and expect to get a bunch of people through the doors over a period of time. So for me personally, for the confidence of it, I would just build a list, sell stuff to them organically, have it open evergreen all the time. Don't try and do a big launch. When you get to the point where you've got a critical mass of people you can move, and it's a speed, like we could drop people an email and get hundreds of people on a wait list by this afternoon. Whereas actually doing that from ads and cold audiences is both expensive and slow and potentially risky. So I think in terms of this like length of time you need people on your waitlist for, or how often you contact them whilst they're on the waitlist, that is lengthened by trying to drive cold people to your waitlist. Whereas if you're just trying to do it to your existing audience, you can massively shorten the amount of time that that waitlist is required. If you're running cold ads to a waitlist, you need longer probably, because unless you've got a big budget you can burn through in a week, you're going to need to take longer over it in order to get the number of people on the waitlist that you want for the launch to work. So there's like a weird thing where they're cold and therefore it's going to take you longer to get them because you're going to have to spread out that investment probably. And as you spread out that investment, you also need to keep them and raise their interest, as you described before. Whereas if they're coming from your existing list or your existing social audience, and you could put hundreds or thousands of people into that waitlist very quickly, hundreds probably for most people, into that waitlist very quickly, then you can keep that time very short. And therefore you can keep it like down to a matter of days. But I think one of the challenges you just have to figure out is, if I send an email to my list every day, say, or three times a week, and then I've got this wait list of people, are you now going to send two emails every day or two emails every 3 days, you know, three times a week?
You might just be creating yourself more bloody work.
That's how I feel about it. The way I would do it though, to solve that problem, is I would have it so that we send a daily email newsletter. If for a period of time, those emails are sending people to a wait list, I would have the same emails. We'll use our dual reality principle. We'd have the same emails going to the waitlist people, but the call to action is just going to be different. Because the truth is, you should be building hype, excitement, and anticipation, whether they're on the waitlist or not. So if I send people emails where we call them, show them behind the scenes, we can send that to people who are on the waitlist and people who are not at the same time. If we're sending people a link where they get to see what times the calls are, or you know, some other bit of training that's going to help tee them up for the launch, you can send that to people regardless of whether they're on the waitlist or not. The only difference is you can use conditional content where some people see one paragraph of text in your email and some people see a different paragraph of text in your email. So the call to action at the end is different. The call to action is go and get on the waitlist if they're not on the waitlist, or if they are on the waitlist, it can be it's
really exciting
on Monday. Yeah, that sort of thing.
Gosh, this is exciting.
Yeah, gosh. Or something like that. And that sort of solves the multi-email problem.
Yeah, yeah. Because we don't want to do more emails, and we want to be efficient and we want to be effective with these emails, right? So there you go. That's kind of our thinking around waitlist. I think they definitely got a place. I think if you're going to use them, especially if you're doing something like our anticipation, the action sequence, or if you're doing a book launch or something like that, where you know you're sort of getting people towards a particular thing. For example, if you know there's only 50 spots available and you've got a wait list of 2,000 people, showing people that, hey, there's 2,000 people on this email list, there's only 50 spots, we open tomorrow, you're going to have a real surge of people wanting to buy. That's definitely like a marketing campaign where a wait list is absolutely, you know, it crushes it, absolutely works beautifully. But the rest of it, just really consider the length of that wait list, how long you're going to leave it, how you're going to keep those people engaged using some of the things that we've shared today. If you want to check out some of the things we've been talking about today, our Getting to Know You sequence, that's our 4-day welcome sequence, our book launch campaign, as well as a whole bunch of other stuff that we've been talking about today. Almost all of it, I think almost every single thing we've talked about today is inside of our Email Hero Blueprint. So go to emailheroblueprint.com and you can go and check out the Email Hero Blueprint. And now it's time for this week's
Subject Line of the Week.
Hit it, Rob.
It's the words, they're demanding money. Lots of curiosity, compound curiosity. Who's demanding money? What are they demanding money from? Who are they demanding money from? Is it bad? Is it good? They're demanding money. It was all about the fact that Netflix have finally started to enforce their multi-household policy on my account. So because my stepmom shares my Netflix, I now have to pay an extra $5.99 for her to have it.
Rude. There you go. That's this week's
Subject Line of the Week.
Thank you so much for listening to the show. If you're a brand new listener, welcome. I hope you enjoyed it. Make sure you hit subscribe on your podcast player, because we do a brand new free episode for you every single Email Marketing Wednesday. So hit subscribe, and that means the episode downloads to your podcast player and you get to tune in every single week and listen to more gems. We've got another cracking episode for you next week, which we can't wait for you to listen to. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.